All right, we're going to start the last part, and this is interesting. Like, I really do like this part of the poetry read. I really enjoy this because everybody gets to have fun up here. My man Thaddeus, come on up here and let's rock it out tonight, okay? You're up, baby.
Unimpinged brevity overtook him. A tweezer's rasp. Witticisms he couldn't translate propagated on the mantles. Husks of particles pillared into perfect spheres imagined in a vacuum. The how-tos and the whys continually arrived. Not up to him. Him, not even him, to begin with. This is called Origin. He began as a thought occurring in an unfamiliar room. Before this, he didn't exist. This happened each morning. He then moved, and the movement had a scent he recalled, which he followed down a corridor into this body. This is called Why So Volatile, My Child. No credo to declare was nonetheless a declared credo, and a credo would not survive where he lived. Could never quite find root in the shiftless mists. All credos could, under certain circumstance, seem credible. This was sillily apparent. But that which was always there before he was, steamrolled blank silks over the mellifluous, screeching sense objects, the right words he found came without volition.
That was Thaddeus Hellman. Pronounce Hellman? Okay. Stefan Giannotti. How about that? Stefan, come on up here.
So I read this at the Pittsburgh Poetry Exchange, and Joan commented on it and gave me her copy, and always trust the editor, as I say. I read it quite poorly the last time, so we'll see how it sounds now. The title is From a High Place, the Point. I thought of her and she was there. My dream, I walk by the docks and there she jogs the other way just the other day. No, other way, such to say the other way, away, away. I shall still work up north, more north, in a westerly manner, a tanner blue sort of fashion. She shall arrive by and by. Such to say the other way, say. Make way, rose, lily of the valley, chrysanthemum. In the refraction, malleable cloud, I stand. Four gate, way center, you stemmed between, red river, sea of spirits, grant me the indomitable fact. She arose such the way the other day, nay, nay, in one brief moment a teacup was in bloom.
Thank you, that was cool. Amy Goldstein. Oh, come on, Amy.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to read tonight because this might be one of the last opportunities I have in Pittsburgh to read, unless I come back for a visit. For those who don't know me, I am a long follower of Michael Worster, who really helped encourage my poetry early on. I've been writing along with training in medicine and having a medical career here in Pittsburgh, and I'm about to move to Philadelphia. And I just self-published my book called Bearing Witness, and Joan came to my reading last week. Thank you, Joan. And this is really just a collection of all my stories that I've gathered through my medical training and my medical career here, and I wanted to read one of the poems from this book, which I think started as an assignment from Michael in one of our workshops. So this poem's called The Big Picture. Part one, the painting. From a distance, single strokes go unseen, carefully and painstakingly painted, row by row. Blue lines like tears run down the canvas, hard to discern when blues are intermingled with yellows, greens, pinks. She entitled it Summer, reminding me of Sunday in the Park. Teardrops hiding in the big picture, but if you look close enough, they're there. They're there. Part two, advising the medical students. Go into your patient's room. Introduce yourself as student doctor. Try not to feel inadequate, undeserving. After all, this is a teaching institution. How else are you to learn what to ask or what to look for? So sit down, start talking. You'll start putting the pieces together. You will learn how to direct the questions, observe the physical signs, tease out the details, collect your data, then assemble these pieces and present it to me, the big picture. Part three, the bathtub. The tears roll down your cheek like paint on a canvas. And while I listen to your story, I imagine the water as it started to overflow from the tub where you had placed your young son, then forgot about him until the water dripped to the floor below where you sat watching TV. When the water splashed your hand, you suddenly realized and ran up to find him floating face down. I sat in my bathtub that night crying for your son who will never wake up. I watched the water flow out of my faucet, feeling the tears roll down my cheeks. I stared at the impressionist print on the bathroom wall, the individual drops of paint, the blues, yellows, pink. This was all I could make out. Through my tears, I could not see the big picture. Thank you.
Amy, that was really good. You'll be back to Pittsburgh. We're going to take a... We know you will. ZZ, Zeta, where you at, babe? Z, come on up here.
Hey. So bizarre. So I'm just going to read one tonight because I've been reminiscent of Seattle and my time there. There are moments in life, I think, when we, I don't know, seem to be the most poetic, but we're also maybe the most desperate. So, rolling sea train. A sluggish cargo train hauls contemporary hobos who hop steel boxes bending along shore and graffiti the sooty stacks. This is a somber hour in the Emerald City. I am sober and slumbering on a park bench, on a hillside, in Ballard, beneath ocean fog and fur shelter, overlooking the Puget Sound and the Northern Pacific Railway. Down the line, smoke rises and plumes, and the rolling horn riles suburban terriers, while wild and free sea lion pups bark offshore on boulder homes near anchored sailboats whose loose poles and ropes rattle, while gull ghosts swirl in the onyx sky and the indigo moonlit water splashes against a rocky shore. The sea music softens my vagabond bed. I gaze down the tracks, think back to dumpster diving, scavenging in the rat pile for trash to repurpose, something to scribble on through the long nights. I smoke a patchwork cigarette, begin to write before dawn's Amtrak horn, cock-a-doodle-doos, and sleeping streets stir with morning rush hour, hustling doctors, lawyers, teachers, clerks, politicians, and the police. The November sun rises too soon, and on a dark note, my worn soles hit the wet concrete hard. No more nighttime daydreaming, resting on my public bench, listening to the train's comforting moan alongside Mother C, my nursing rhyme. Thanks.
Thank you, Z. Thank you. Jennifer Shannon, where you at, Jennifer? Come on.
My name is Jennifer Shannon, and Sheila, actually from the Writer's Studio, encouraged me to come and read my work. So I'm going to read two pieces that I've started and still trying to work on. The sun hid, but the sky was lit. A hue of red we had never seen. It spewed across the horizon, whispering commands we could only imagine. We traveled beneath it, stumbling upon stones, love, make-believe, stopping merely to grab, hold each precious thing found, knowing the only way to know was to feel, to find freedom wherever it lay, tuck it inside, savor colors in the distance, obey the voice of the wind. And the second piece is entitled Holding Hands. You squeezed my hand once. Let me know you wanted me there, with you, walking towards nowhere, yet you had planned the route. I followed, just happy to have my hand wrapped in yours, even though you were quiet, not looking at me when words finally came tumbling against your lips. We walked, footsteps apart, made the playful bump or accidental nudge impossible, until it happened. The tightening of your fingers around mine. I gazed down, then up, to make sure it wasn't some imposter's touch. But your eyes met mine. It was so honest. that 1 second within 1 moment right before you let me go. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. Aaron Novak. Aaron.
There have been a number of poems of mourning in one way or another. Tonight, I'm going to add to the general sadness. It's a traditional Chinese belief that after you die, after some number of days, you're presented with a bowl of soup. And if you drink the soup, you forget your old life and you go on. If you don't drink the soup, you remember your old life, and you cannot move on. So this poem is in memory of my maternal grandfather-in-law, Sun Weining. After the steam had settled on his mind, and after the steam had blanched his bones, she came for him with a teary offering, a great black ram that dripped dark blood. But he hung back, unsure who could be calling him to drink from the pooling blood. 3 times she tried to grasp his shadow. 3 times he fled her fingers like steam. He drank the soup. He will not return to put his mouth to the congealing blood.